I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I wanted to start off by just saying, this is hard, okay? This is not an easy thing.
Therapy is something that I am a big proponent of.
In between therapy and that, we had some, like, crazy built-up, like, fun sexual things going on. Mm-hmm. What was that all about? Hey, everybody. Welcome to Marriage and Martinis. I'm Adam. Here's Danielle.
Hello.
All right, so we're going to skip the chit-chat, the banter, all that stuff, right?
Yep.
That was a thing for
it's
the list.
Straight to the point.
Straight to the point. Mm-hmm. Get right into it.
Sure.
did you put something, I just started like chit-chat. That's not good. Didn't you put something last week about the episode? We were getting taking too long to get to it.
Yeah.
That whole thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think people need to keep in mind that if they think about their own conversations, arguments, fights, whatever you want to call it, at home or with people you love, it can take a little bit to get to the meat of things, right? You don't just dive in unless, you know, in the moment you're just enraged. But I think,
yeah.
I think people need to remember that one of the beauties of our podcast is that it is so real and we are having these conversations in real time, but also that it happens so rarely and we so rarely hear other couples and people navigate these hard conversations that we're not used to having to wait and seeing the progression of how we get to it, right? So, you know, you have to get comfortable a little bit first.
Yeah, well, it's an easier transition when we start this thing, you know, just to bullshit about something and then get to the point,
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of,
yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah, especially since they are, you know, this is our, look, we love podcasting so much. This is also our life, though, our real life. And again, I think it's a beautiful, you know, like testament to honesty and authenticity that we do it in front of everybody. But also, I think on the other end of that, people need to be understanding. And I think they are, you know, yeah. I just knew that it was taking a little while.
Procrastinating the conversation, maybe a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I don't know. Or just, yeah, it was taking 20 minutes to get to the climax.
I researched that and found out that to be the case.
Oh, how interesting.
We're talking about conversations.
Yes, conversations.
Right. Anyway, to the point. Mm-hmm. Right. I wrote out this whole thing and I was trying to have you not bother me for most of the morning so I can get my thoughts on paper here. I don't know. Should I break this apart? Like, I don't want to just sit here and read this thing to you. You know what
no,
I'm saying?
Right. No.
Like, maybe just break it apart and discuss it a little bit by bit.
Yeah. Well, I can start by a few things from last week that I just wanted to sort of clarify and go over. The first one, I said that women were able to get credit cards in 1984, which sounds insane and is insane. It was not 1984, but I'm not that far off. It was 1974, which still is, to me, insanity that you couldn't walk into a bank without a husband or father or somebody to get your own credit card. And, like, what a bad business move, because women are responsible for, like, so much of the purchasing in our society.
That when women started getting credit cards, divorce rates started going up?
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Right, of course. But what I'm saying is you want women to have a credit card. I mean, we probably, you know, you. I don't want to be stereotypical, but like we do the grocery shopping usually. You know, this is all societal influence. But so once women were able to get credit cards, shit changed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Was that it?
Oh, and I was going to do, you asked me, what do women do after after divorce, right? Do they
yeah.
date men? Do they date women? And I had polled our, I looked for statistics and stuff online. There was not much about, you know, what women do. I found some studies that I can read about, but I polled our audience and, you know, thousands of people responded. And so I said, if you left your current male partner, what would your dating and relationship preference be? 57% said they would stay single for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised.
32% said they would date men only. 9% said they would be, and again, this is just our audience. You know, this isn't like,
oh, okay.
I mean, but we're a microcosm right. kind of the, you know, we're all over the, we have people all over the world and, you know, 9% open to dating men and women, and only 2% said women only. But again, most women said, I will stay single for a long time. And I think that that has a lot of bearing on the fact that, you know, you come out of a bad relationship or a relationship where you weren't getting your needs met and everything. And part of you is probably exhausted and drained and you haven't really been able to do much self-exploration because you were so busy taking care of everybody that you want some time for that or a long time for that.
Oh, yeah. Makes. What would your answer be?
So hard. I mean, I see my friends dating right now and it ain't pretty. You know, online stuff is hard.
Yeah. That scares me.
All of it scares me. I would definitely go out and have some experiences, but I don't know that they would, I wouldn't date. I don't think at first. I would do things like that you can't do when you're in a monogamous relationship, right? Like I would go and get like a tantric massage. I would, you know, where they like pleasure you and it's not considered sexual because that is not the goal of the massage, but everyone who I know, all the women I know who have gotten them, say it was the best orgasm of their life. And I would just experiment and go out there and have experiences, hopefully without shame and guilt. Do I think I would date? No, not definitely not right away.
Why would there not be? Why would there be shame and guilt?
Because
for doing what?
Look, I don't personally have that, but society. And being a mom and, you know, depending on what age you are, all of these layers, I think, affect your ability to just do these things without feeling burdensome about it. And
okay. I mean, if you care enough about, you know, societal views.
Well,
or...
I think a lot of women do, especially if you have kids and... you know, and I have people in my life who I can talk, who I would be able to tell, but I think a lot of women, especially older women or women who are, you know, not my age, don't have a lot of people in their life who they can talk to about this stuff. And so it probably feels lonely and like you're hiding something. And so that makes it feel shameful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it depends on how you were raised. I think it depends on what your past experiences were. I mean, I really think that if you get out of a relationship where you were, your partner wasn't interested in finding out what pleasures you and that you weren't, he didn't prioritize your pleasure, I don't know that you're running to, you're probably sort of like, you know how like when you don't have sex for a little while or you don't have good sex and you kind of stop thinking about it. It's not a priority anymore. Mm-hmm. When you have good sex and, you know what it feels like, you want it more. Mm-hmm. Just like a lot of things.
Right.
And so I think a lot of women getting out of these relationships, first of all, are exhausted. Again, they haven't had time to do all the things that they want to do, pursue their passions, their hobbies, their careers. And so that kind of gets put on the back burner. But also I think that there's this whole layer of experiences that women could be having that they're not taking advantage of, because I think it feels like you're desperate or something if you go get a tantric massage, or you're desperate if you go and seek like a sex worker, or, you know, all these scenarios where you could probably have a lot of pleasure. Even masturbation, I think, for a lot of women is shameful, and they don't feel like, they feel dirty doing it, or like it's wrong. Listen, if
still,
you grew up,
yeah.
I mean, depending on when you grew up and what you were taught, what your religious background is, or I think so. I think that it's not talked about at all, you know, with a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it's probably less societal than it is self.
Mm-mm.
Really? Like, because you were just saying the way you grew up, what religious background you have.
Yeah, religious background is societal.
I mean, only that aspect of society.
And correct me if I'm wrong, if you went to Catholic school, you probably learned that masturbation was wrong.
Right, and then you get out of there and masturbate like crazy because...
I'm not saying you don't do it. I'm saying there's an element of shame.
Yeah, but only in that aspect of society, like only in the religious...
No, I don't believe that.
Okay.
So anyway, I just... overall think that there's a lot of factors in why women want to stay single for so long. But I also, it hurts my heart. And I know that sounds ridiculous and dramatic, but it does. It hurts my heart that like women don't feel like it's either they have to go back into a monogamous relationship or date. And then once they've been dating for a while, then maybe they can have a sexual experience. But I hate that we're not, that this stuff is so stigmatized. I really do.
Yeah, you know better than me. I would never have guessed in today's world that it's still a concern for, I guess, you know, for a woman coming out of a marriage or relationship or whatever to have those uncomfortable
feelings.
They
even say for boys, you know, for a long time we talked about it, that you weren't vocal in the bedroom and you couldn't even moan for a long time. Am I allowed to say this?
Are you allowed?
But a lot of that has to do with, they say in research that both boys and girls, when they are masturbating when they're younger, they have to be so quiet about it because they don't want anybody to hear. And it's thought to be embarrassing or humiliating or. So,
yeah, but I don't even think I had the notion to, if I was home alone, like I didn't.
You didn't masturbate?
No, I did. I didn't like moan or make a noise or.
Because you were, but I'm sure your natural reaction probably would have been to do that.
Maybe.
Okay.
I
don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe I just make more noise on people.
I don't now.
What?
I don't make a noise. I don't like if I'm masturbating.
But
like, I
think a lot of that has to do with
why
conditions.
But I do it with you.
Well, that's after like years of training.
Right. Worked my way up to a moan.
And doesn't it feel better? Yeah. I think it does. Okay.
All right. Moving on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I wanted to. All right. So I guess we're breaking this thing apart. I don't want to just sit here and read. But I wanted to start off. We're going back to coming off of last week's episode and where we've. It's only been a week and what we've done and where we've come since then. I wanted to start off by just saying, this is hard, okay? This is not an easy thing. I think for, like, you might say to me, you know, why is being nice hard, you know? Or why is being sympathetic and compassionate and understanding, like, why is that hard? You know, and I don't think that that's really what this was about, because I think in the past it kind of was without all the other underlying things that I was even considering. It was just, oh, I'm supposed to be nicer or I'm supposed to be more compassionate. Like, what does that mean? You know what I'm saying? And maybe that's why it's never worked for us, or it's never, like, I didn't have the understanding of what that really meant. At least so far from where I've come within 7 days, that's what I'm learning up to this point. And I just know, look, this is not, that's not me. You know, it's not the way I ever was. It's not the way I thought I was going to be. This is something that I'm learning at 46 years old after 6,000 fights between you and I. and getting to a place that we were last week that has me thinking in this new direction for the first time. But like I was saying in the past, like I thought I fixed it because I was nice. And then 2 days later, I'd be fixating on something negative. And then I wasn't able to be those things towards you because either I thought it was your fault or I was taking it out on you. And then we were back to square one after 2 days of, you know, fighting and thinking that I was right. That's kind of where I wanted to start this.
Okay.
Is there any response to
that? Well, I just half understand, but okay. But I think
should I keep going?
Yeah, once you keep going, maybe I'll understand more.
All right, let me keep going. Mm-hmm. also, like I said, you know, this is not easy for me, and I'm not using that as an excuse. I don't think that means that it's okay. I'm saying I have to, like, dig deeper. In, you know, within myself, I have to go somewhere that I've never been before, right? So that's why it's hard. You know, that's the work so far that I've been doing to really understand the underlying problems here. And, you know, there's been a little bit of, you know, from you know, what's your plan? What are you doing? How is this going to work? What are you going to do to make, you know, what are the steps? What are the, you know, and I'm like, okay, slow down. You know, like, I know it involves all of that. And I understand where you're coming from because, like I said, in the past, it's always I fix it. And then 2 days later, we're back to square. Like, so you need that, like, reassurance or assurance or whatever. But I just need kind of like, there's a lot going on here. This is a lot of hard work. You know, there are steps. I get it. There is, like, I need to take it all in and do some, you know, soul searching here and some deep thought about where this is all stemmed from and fix and work on those things. I hope that makes a little more sense. No?
Do you want me to respond?
Yeah.
I don't want to interrupt you.
No. Should I keep going?
Well, I would just say, I guess where I was at
a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
Was I'm not, I don't want to wait anymore for any of this stuff.
I,
you know, even during therapy, you were sort of like, we need to talk about this and that.
Well,
and
I'm going to get to that.
Okay. But I said to you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, a year ago, whenever, I would have been very open to talking about this stuff. By now, I'm just so drained that to start these conversations when I have been ready to have them and trying to have them for so long feels exhausting, and I don't have the energy to teach you.
Yeah, and I'm not asking to be taught.
Okay.
I'm not, like, my work is not, hey, Danielle, what can I do? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just said to you, I'm on step one, okay? And my step one is coming to understand where this is all coming from.
Do you want to share where you think it's coming from?
I'm
going to stop. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, you're not. Oh, not at all. I've also looked at, you know, look, I've done work in the past. I've done a ton of awful things in the past that, you know, I'm completely ashamed of. And I worked on those things and haven't done anything like that since. So in my mind, it was like, hey, look at all the work I've done. I'm a better person. I don't fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, to those degrees, to those.
Right, like tangible things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't go out to dinner and then leave you for the night and go to a strip club. I don't, you know, like, I don't leave for the weekend and go to Atlantic City. Like, I don't, like, though, you know, those things, you know, fucking up in those kinds of ways. And, you know, a host of other things that I look back at myself with complete shame and can't believe I did it. And how could I ever do something like that again? Right. So, like, I've done that work, and I've done work, you know, when we started this podcast. I mean, it completely changed our communication. It completely changed those things too. Those big tangible things of I'm home, I'm with you, we're together every weekend, like working on our communication and those kinds of things was work too, but it was fun because it was a podcast. Had it not been a podcast, it may not have been so fun. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think this time, because, you know, this really was or is or could be or not be the last straw, you know, it's really made me do a lot of thinking and soul searching. I think for both of us, not just me. Like, I'm trying to put myself in your head, which is a scary place.
That's called empathy.
Oh, is that what that is?
Empathy.
Is that what that word means? you know, I never thought to myself, you know, hey, what does Danielle, what do you really want? What do you really need? What do I really want? What do I need? You know, do we deserve each other? Do I deserve you after all the shit that's happened and everything that's been put through and all the shit that you've put up with? And if I'm Danielle, am I, Adam, the right person for you? Like, I've never thought that before. And I've had to think those things, you know? But, oh wait, sorry. And
therapy 101.
I learned that. Mm-hmm. I'm using these words. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to get there. Don't worry. Don't freak out and get back to me on this right away. Okay? Mm-hmm. We have a tendency not to take blame for our faults, or we have an excuse to defend it, or why some things are meaningless because they are not so important in the scheme of things, or we have these things that we don't do, but look at all these things that we do. Does it sound familiar? Just acknowledge that you're hearing what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But like I just did, I have a tendency to make sure that you're aware, you, Danielle, of the reasons or the things that you do or don't do to either initiate these situations or where they stem from for me. And then you'll explain to me why, and if I was there from the beginning, maybe those situations wouldn't have occurred in the first place, right? So it's like this kind of back and forth where I'm trying to ultimately defend the reason behind things. And you're like, well, no, because if you were there, that wouldn't... I know this is confusing because I'm not using real life situations here. Am I not making sense to you?
You're saying is that I've made certain decisions for our family. You said in the podcast before, I'm very good at solving problems using money.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good example.
Yeah. But. Okay. But so that's what you're referring to, is that I've made decisions that you feel are too expensive.
Well, you've done things, right, that will frustrate me. And then you're like, but if you were there for the decision making process in the beginning and helping, maybe that wouldn't have been the outcome.
Oh, well, fuck yeah. It's like, what's that game? Whack-a-mole?
Yeah.
Where I'm just like trying to get you, like I'm just trying to like just get you to pop up and be present, and you just keep like leaving.
I know. I have this barrier where that I don't allow myself to feel the compassion and understanding of your feelings in these situations. I put up this big, huge barrier that I don't let to be broken down. And I always feel that I have good reason and I'm in the right for being mad at you or be passive aggressive towards you is all justifiable in my mind, because I don't let that barrier fall and try to feel your empathy towards you. Mm-hmm. How am I doing?
Good. I mean,
I said, this is step one for me. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm putting my ego and my selfishness aside, that I know I struggle with, but I'm working on doing that to use my word compassion and have feelings and understanding.
It's like a Sesame Street episode. The word of the day is empathy.
That was my therapy word.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And wait, but can I give a little background about therapy?
Yeah, you're part of this too. It's okay.
Okay, so therapy is something that I am a big proponent of. Our kids have all been in therapy since they were young. And, you know, look, when your parents have a fucking podcast like we do, you need some fucking therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, we disposed of a college fund for a therapy fund. And you have a tendency Look, not therapy isn't for everyone, right? Like, people have different ways of working on themselves. Some people journal. Some people go to retreats or online workshops or, you know, something that is going to help them to figure shit out. You had nothing that you have ever done like that. And so when we were going through all our stuff, should I even tell people can go back and listen to the guilt episode if they want like some foundation for all of this.
There's plenty of episodes you can go back to.
Yeah. That was like, whoa. And I asked you to go to therapy because I knew that you had all this stuff that you were doing was because you were not dealing with a whole lot of issues. And when your dad was sick and after he died and all this stuff, and you basically went to therapy like 4 times and then were like, I did it. I did the therapy and we're done. And I, of course, was so frustrated and so upset. And your therapist basically, first of all, in the first session was basically like, you need to forgive yourself. And I was kind of like, all right, slow your roll, dude. Like, no, let him, he can fester in this a little
great.
Bit. Yeah, I know you think she was
great. I loved
her. Exactly. So I was always very frustrated. Like, I couldn't get you to do any work, right? And I've been in therapy for a really long time. And I work on myself, I think, a lot in a lot of different ways. And so as I was working on myself and trying to get better in the ways that, you know, look, you used to say that I didn't give you enough affection and stuff like that. I really worked on that, like, big time. Right. Because I used to tell you weren't affectionate enough and you used to say, well, you're not either. And I realized that I was reacting to you. So I started to try to be proactive in my affection and, you know, and I didn't get it reciprocated. So that was always very frustrating to me, like that I was doing all this work and you sort of just saw the only part you saw of it was this is costing a lot of money. And it does cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But not doing therapy costs a lot in your life. Like, it just costs a lot. And so I know that I have done very expensive things to try to make things better for our family. I also think, and this is the problem with our society, and again, I will say we are a regular couple, right? We're not like a celebrity couple that has, you know, housekeepers and, you know, nannies and like all of those
for Passover.
You blow the shofar. Chauffeur. And so we have spent money to solve issues and it has put us in bad financial situations before, but at the same time, it's working. You know, it's not like we spent all this money and then we're sort of like, oh shit, it didn't even work. It's working. Mm-hmm. You know, everything we've done with the kids and, you know, the work I've done on myself. but so that was really frustrating to me. And they do say that from the time you ask someone to go to therapy, your partner, it takes usually 6 years. The average is 6 years how long it takes for someone to go to therapy who is resistant to it at first. So that's a big battle to get somebody to go to therapy. And then usually they go to therapy and they're sort of like, oh shit, now I get it. So when I said to you the other day when I had an appointment with my therapist, I was sort of like, can you join? And you hesitantly said yes. But you did say yes. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, take it away.
There's nothing to take away. I just, it was a quick thing. I wanted to say that we did a joint therapy session.
Yeah.
And
the second one we've done in a few weeks.
Yeah. And in the beginning, you know, look, I had my kind of barrier up and I was just kind of made sure that everybody knew that I was listening and that I was there and responding and doing the things I was supposed to do. And I think she saw that in me. She said something about that. Like, she saw I needed more. What?
Well, I said to her, what you don't understand is that my Adam, who I'm with when I'm by myself, you know, when it's just the two of us, is a completely different person than the Adam you're seeing in therapy. That you are, you get this hard shell on you. You get this empty expression. You seem cold and distant, and you, I feel like you seem like that sometimes when we're in a lot of public settings. But when we're together, just the two of us, it's completely different. So, what I was trying to say is, if we're going to get anything out of this, we need to acknowledge the fact that like this isn't the this isn't my Adam.
Well, she saw it happening, and she had us do a couple like activities together during the session, which really helped.
I gave you a blowjob. Right, no, I'm just kidding.
but it really it got me engaged in what you were saying and what she was saying and what I was saying, right? So I actually had to be an active participant. Like I had to be, you know, she was even like...
She called on you.
She was like, you have to lower your shoulders, okay? Like relax, you know, like breathe, you know, close your eyes, you know, and it... And, you know, it worked. She had us talking to each other, you know, face to face, eye to eye. You know, like all the things that she was doing really helped break down that barrier for me to just say, okay, I'm here to not listen, but to understand and feel what Danielle's feeling. And I was like halfway through, I was like, wow, this shit changed. Like shit's real. I get it. Mm-hmm. It was good. Yes, I know why you pay her. do you have anything else about the therapy?
No, I just am wondering if you're, and I want you to be truthful, right? Because like I said, everybody does work in different ways. I personally think therapy is invaluable, and I think everyone should do it, but of course I'm not going to can't make anybody do it. But I'm just wondering, honestly, if your feelings about therapy are at all changing, and that if you're willing, in a sense, to try it in a like fresh way that you haven't.
I am not against therapy at all.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. No, you looked at it as a chore.
Okay, that's partially true. No,
every time we've been in couples therapy or you were at therapy, it was
I think,
a chore, and you weren't honest.
I'm into therapy. Like I could be into therapy, right? I would like. I think I need to go sit on the couch, face to face. Like I don't like this Zoom stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I need to be, you know, I need to be in it. You know what I mean? When I'm on a Zoom, I am so in so many different directions. I can't focus on what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, like partially when we were doing it, like I'm thinking about two other things at what, you know, a certain time. Like that's just how my mind, like, you know, my mind's fucked up that way. Like I can't concentrate.
No, it's not fucked up. You have ADHD.
Right. Okay. It's whatever. Yeah. Up. Whatever it is. But I can't be 100% there if I'm on Zoom. I feel like if I'm on the couch, it would be much more, you know, beneficial. I could be more engaged.
Okay.
So I think I might need to do that.
Fantastic. I'll do whatever the fuck you need to. I don't care. Go to naked therapy if you have to. Go to therapy.
Is it that tantra therapy?
Oh, naked therapy actually might be a good thing. Oh, I'm going to patent that.
Do it. Who's naked? The patient or the therapist?
Everybody.
Or both?
I don't care. Right. Let's get real. Let's get real and raw.
Real and raw.
I could sense in this last therapy session, and I talk about it because I know, and it's not always the guy. A lot of women are very resistant to therapy. I talk about it because I know that there are so many partners out there who are desperate for their partner to seek therapy, right? Or to go with them, and they won't do it. And And I'm not looking for you to give me an answer to appease me or to agree with me, but I did feel this last therapy session that you were a quarter of the way through when we said you needed to, you know, let your guard down. Mm-hmm. That you then all of a sudden felt differently about the whole experience.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. But I'm saying, I felt that.
Mm-hmm.
And so going forward, you know, but look, I'm sorry, 3 or 4 therapy sessions won't do it. I mean, it's a process. I'm not saying it's a commitment.
I mean, look, that other one that I went to was just, I was going to talk about, you know, all the shit, and she just told me to figure myself every time. Like, that was what that was. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you were obviously not happy with that. So
no.
We stopped. Like, I just never didn't find somebody new. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. I have a question for you, because we had a very serious and emotional conversation just like 2 nights ago. Prior to that, in between therapy and that, we had some like crazy built up, like fun sexual things going on.
Mm-hmm.
What was that all about?
I wanted to have sex.
Obviously. I mean, it was like dating. Like, it was like midday or mm-hmm. the morning and night, like all the above. And like, it wasn't just sex. It was other sexual things going on. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, what you confuse me.
I know.
And then
yes.
Like the next night, it was tears all over the place.
Sex complicates things, right? I remember when I was younger, you know, my mentor when I was younger, who you know very, very well, she used to say to me when I was younger and I was very promiscuous, she used to say, sex complicates things. And when I was younger, I was sort of like, no, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now I realize that. But I think, again, like I said, I missed you, not just sexually, but like I feel the most connected to you during sex. People feel connection to each other in all different ways, right? Like, for me, it's sex and podcasting is, you know, and when we go out, well, a lot of times I feel connected to you.
See?
And I very much look, some people avoid sex when they're stressed. I very much gravitate to it. And I just like it.
Yeah, but I was the one who started it, if you remember. I came upstairs to you and started this thing, and then the next morning you were like, hey, come upstairs.
Yeah, because once I have it, I just want to keep having it. But I think that was my way of sort of being like, I need to connect with him, I need to be near him. Again, they said that people have all different ways of doing that, but that's my way. And
yeah, because we weren't communicating like in a friendly, loving, anything way.
No, but I've always said that. Even back in the day, you're talking about, you know, when we were at our very, very worst in a different way, right? When we first started, I used to say to myself, and I don't feel like this towards you now, but when we were going through all the stuff, when you were, again, going to Atlantic City for the weekend and you weren't in touch with me and you would turn off your location services, or my 40th birthday or whatever, which again was the guilt episode. I used to think to myself, I used to have sex with you, and then the next morning I would feel this intense guilt and you know, and remorse that I had done it, because I was sort of like, I hate him. Why am I having sex with him? I didn't feel like that this time. It was last time was more hate. This is more like sadness. Mm-hmm. and you know, disappointment.
When I said just the other night when we had this very emotional conference, it was a sad conversation, not a fight, not a
right
hate each other, not you did this, like it, like this tangible thing, like it wasn't, it was just an emotional,
yeah, because we have all this stuff from the past that I have no closure on, you know, and I have no closure on it because I think that you have put it far in the back of your mind, or just let it slip out because you don't want to deal with it. You know, and of course, again, there's stuff that happened that we haven't shared and we won't share, because it's just, there's some stuff you just have to keep private. but I have felt like there's been no closure. And I think a lot of people probably feel that way, right? Like, you want to move on. You don't want to be the person who's constantly bringing up the past. You don't want to have that be your relationship where you're always sort of sitting in that bad place But yet I had no closure because I think you, again, give yourself a pass to just, okay, it's over. I don't do it anymore. We're just going to forget it happened. And I do think that that has a lot to do with how you grew up. Like, I think that the communication that you grew up with was sort of just, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to deal with it. And we're just going to pretend it didn't happen and move on. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you deal with things. And for me, who is, all I do is think, right? Look, I think on a regular level, and then I have diagnosed OCD where I think on an OCD level, right? So I have a record skipping in my head all the time. And what happens is when something sets that off, a trauma or a stress or something, I go back to that place. Number one, because I'm a very emotional person. Number two, because I have no closure. And number three, because I have OCD. And that's just how my mind works. So I was thinking to myself and feeling to myself, like when I was laying there, we're dealing with this problem in the now, but we haven't even really ever dealt with these problems from before. And I've only brought up leaving you twice in our entire marriage. Once was after my 40th birthday and once was now. And the 40th birthday, I said to you, you know, you, when you had been lying to me about, you threw me this party and afterwards I was up in the hotel room waiting for you. You went to a strip club and, you know, I found on your phone that you had been at the strip club. I still don't know the details of it, but I said to you, if you do not come clean, this was after 6 months, if you do not come clean, I am going to hire a private investigator. And if I find that you've been lying to me, I'm going to leave you. And you came clean in 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that was, I don't bring up, I don't like using, like, I will never say I'm going to leave you if I'm not going to leave you. I do not like that. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's, that is not ammo that should ever be used, in my opinion, unless you really mean it. And because you could call my bluff at any second. You could be like, you're right, you should leave. Mm-hmm. And then if you've said that and you don't really want to leave, you're kind of fucked. So you have to be ready to, you know, face those consequences, like to walk the walk. So when I said it this time, I was sort of like still feeling all of the stuff from the past. And so not only was I dealing with the frustrations of the now, I was dealing with the frustrations of how are we even here and you're even treating me like this now, when really I thought that it was going to be after the last thing. I don't know, what was that, seven, when was I, what was that, my 40th birthday, I'm 46, 6 years ago exactly to the day, yesterday was the party.
Oh, really?
Happy anniversary. happy strip-iversary. Yeah, the strip club incident. Which, again, doesn't, people would call me or text me after or message me after and be like, I don't know, he went to a strip club. But it's the whole situation behind it. So it's not just that. But so that was where I was at, right? I was sort of like, I cannot believe that he hasn't even spent the last 6 years trying to show me that he is a different person than he was. But I guess in your mind, you were.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did a lot of things, you know, to try to correct the situation, which left still all these underlying things that I was just talking about before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have to pee really bad. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no,
I can't
concentrate.
Don't be sorry. Okay. I'll be right back.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
If the situation is not about you, I come home and I am passive aggressive towards you, or I am upset with you, or for whatever the reason may be, right? But then you'll be all insistent upon it. This is how you fix it. Like, you'll be Danielle about it, right? Like, in my face, this is what you have to do. And I'm like, blah, this is not my comfort zone. I don't like confrontation. I don't like this, the whole thing, right? So I get mad. I get frustrated. I take it out on you. But now I realize, after 7 days of deep thinking, that these outside things that are affecting me also affect you, not just because you're dealing with me, but they literally just affect you in that way too. And I'm the one who has to control it and be able to step up and do it to fix the situation for us, because you don't have control over it. I do. So I am the one who has to step up and do it.
Wait, can you fucking say that again?
Nope. Rewind. Hit that 30-second rewind button on your podcast player.
Wait, I want to hear that again. I will take my shirt off if you say that again.
So what I said was...
Exactly. Say that again, please. And can everyone please listen to this for your own relationships?
I've done soul searching.
Okay, but
I
want other partners to hear this, because what you just said is going to make me cry. And this morning we had a meeting where you had done some research. We've told people before.
Well, no, we're not there yet. We're getting there.
My God. I have that too. It's going to be like people are going to have to camp out for this shit. Okay. Yeah.
So, well, do you want to hear what I said already?
Please say that again.
Poor people have to listen to again. What I
no,
said.
No, it's that is, wow. That's a breakthrough. That's an aha moment. If I'm an Oprah, I'm doing the
Oh, not mm-hmm. Mm,
no, that no. The mm-hmm is like just like a little bit of an agreement. The is it like that? You had a breakthrough.
Okay, so my breakthrough was that I've come to realize I take out my outside frustrations that have nothing to do with you on you, because you're all Danielle about it, like in my face, and this is what you have to do, and you have to do it tonight and not tomorrow, and you have to, here's the plan, what's the plan, let's have a meeting about it, like on and on and on and on and on. And I get so incredibly frustrated and annoyed and uncomfortable, and I'm like, oh shit, wait, but this does affect Danielle too. I got to step up and take care of it.
Hallelujah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I've learned some things.
Listen, that's the most attractive thing I've ever said in your entire life. You have control over it, and you need to
step
to
up and do it.
Step up and do it.
Yep.
Wow.
Without your influence.
Okay. I like it. People, you have to step up and take control. Like,
and
there are parts of relationships, excuse me, that one person just has more control and effect over, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to be the one who takes the initiative to set boundaries and protect your family.
That's right. I want to do that shit.
God damn.
Yeah. See?
You're so fucking hot. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, there's more?
I don't know. Tell me, please.
No, I want to talk about your list. Right. So you sent me a list, not to do a tit for tat, and not like you have your list of things that are on your mind constantly and things that you need to take care of that I am not there for because I'm away for the day, or I'm just, they're not in my mind or whatever. And you sent me this long list of things that I had to go, not had to, I wanted to go look through. And see, oh, what is...
It was a to-do list. A current to-do list.
Danielle's to-do list. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I learned today that there's a lot of things on those lists that, yeah, I get it. I should probably be involved in some of these things. It's not like you have to... Clean out your closet.
Figure out which ski boots to get.
Yes, your ski boots. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Things that are involved with our kids and our daily lives that I know you're home all day working. I get it. And when I'm away from home and not at work, they're not in my thought. But there are certain things that I could be a quick phone call or a quick email. Take me 3 minutes.
What happened when you told me that you had called the breast surgeon for Mia?
What happened?
Yeah, what did I do?
It was a text, and you just texted me.
No, just today in our meeting. What happened when you...
Oh, you started crying.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was so happy I started crying.
Yeah. I went to our insurance website, found the most local doctor. Turns out that doctor has been used by a friend of ours. And so must be the right person. We'll see, but we have to start the consult. But I initiated the consultation, or the, you know, I spoke to the office. And
I have been dealing with Mia's breast reduction surgery, and she doesn't care if I say, she's totally open. We're a breasty family. And so,
yes, we are.
And so, I have been for a year now fighting with doctors and insurance, you know, figuring out insurance things. And you know, it costs if you're not going to use insurance, which, unless you have all this evidence of you've been in physical therapy and you've gone to a chiropractor and all this stuff, that you can't get insurance to pay for a breast reduction. And so a breast reduction can be upwards of $20,000.
More. Yeah. It was more in my research.
Correct. Yeah. So,
and that's why we kind of like stopped looking.
I had settled on a doctor, and then I was sort of like, I can't settle on a doctor for her breast surgery. I need it to be like a good doctor.
Right. Well, yeah, we were looking, or you were looking. Mm-hmm. And
There we go.
And then I did the minimal contact for the health insurance and found out, no, it's not covered because of all the reasons you just said. And I'm like, well, okay, well, we don't have $20,000+ to be able to do this right now. So after seeing your list, and 6 months later, I was like, okay, let's revisit this and do it the right way. And I started with the insurance company. I found out maybe it is possible. We'll find out, but at least we'll have the conversation and talk to the doctor together.
Yeah, and I cried. So I was so happy that I cried.
And that
because
was
I have been feeling like I'm doing her such a disservice by not being able to figure it out. But also, you know, look, our kids, and I'm sure a lot of people out there, if you have kids, there are a lot of expenses. And you have to, you know, sort of span them out over a period of time. And Mia has had a lot of issues. You know, she's on the spectrum and she has ADHD and she has a lot of stuff that we need to deal with imminently. And this is something that I would really, really have liked her to have, you know, gotten done before, is the breast reduction surgery. But, you know, you have to span shit out so you can pay for it. And insurance is a fucking beast. And I could not find someone to pay for her surgery because she hasn't done all the physical therapy and stuff. I need her to get the surgery so that we don't have to do all the physical therapy and everything. Mm-hmm. So none of it makes sense. But I desperately needed some help with it, and I couldn't figure it out. And I go to bed at night, as many, many moms do, thinking, I need to figure this out for my kid, and I don't know how.
There were many things on the list, and we went over. We had our little coffee meeting this morning, which I initiated. Mm-hmm. And I was so glad we did, because we went through that list and started the process on a bunch of things.
Didn't it feel good?
It did feel good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there was another thing that I had to like find that information for. I sent out the email. I had it back in 5 minutes. We had an answer. Doesn't look too good on that, but you know, we have other options maybe.
I don't remember what that was, but okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just because there's not somebody local to us that we can take advantage of it.
Okay.
Yeah, like that, seeing that list, it wasn't just a fight of, well, I do this and you do this and I do this, you know like back and forth of what we do that the other person doesn't realize. This was a tangible thing that I could see. All right, that's not a big deal for me to like get in there and do some of this shit and help with some of this stuff. It's just really a quick thing or a conversation or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was step two.
Yeah, that was super hot this morning. Guys, go meet with your wives and help them take care of shit. And I promise you, it will benefit you in a big way. Yeah. I got a lot of messages this week. You know, there are some... I get messages after every episode, right? And some of them are like, you were so funny, or you guys entertained me. Some of them are, wow, I've never heard this before. And obviously when we do these very, you know, vulnerable episodes, I get a mixed bag. I get, you know, we got some some comments that were, you know, I don't believe it about the, I think men do have different emotions than women and all that stuff, which is fine. Listen, fine. I got some messages saying Adam is ignoring the issue, and which I kind of felt a little bit after the last episode.
What happened?
Our last episode, I'm saying that I got a lot of messages all over the board, you know, a ton of thank yous, which is amazing. And thank you so much. And if I didn't get back to you, it doesn't mean that I don't care. I really do care. I just, it's a lot to get back to. But I got some messages about polyamory with people saying my husband, my partner couldn't give me certain things. And I got quite a few messages of people saying now we are polyamorous and it has been really good for us and it has saved our relationship, right? And only between 5% and 7% of couples are polyamorous, according to my research.
5 and 7?
5 to 7%.
That's higher than I thought.
Really?
My guess would have been lower. Yeah. Like married couples?
Okay,
or?
So here's my thing with that statistic. I bet there are a lot of couples who aren't like...
Wait, married or no?
Yeah, married.
Huh. No, that's high to me.
So I think it's higher. I think there are a lot of couples, and I don't blame them because society is mean, that aren't forthright and open about their polyamory or their monogamish lifestyle.
What is that, Jewish monogamy?
That's pretty funny. Happy Hanukkah, everyone, by the way, if you're celebrating Hanukkah. So here's the thing. Okay, so people were like, you guys should try polyamory, and if you're not getting your needs met, you know, because then you, right, if you have all these different partners satisfying your needs, you're getting all your needs met, right? If I have you for whatever you give me, and then I have...
Coffee
in the morning. You do. That's all I'm there for. Don't
coffee,
minimize that.
Cocktails. That's, you know.
Listen, I'm all about it. But what they're saying is we open up a relationship and, you know, I can't get this and this and this and this from my partner. They can't get this, this and this and this from me. And we've opened it up and now we're like super satisfied and everything's better. Our sex life is better. Our emotional life is better. All these things. And I am all for it. All fucking for it. You do whatever is going to make your life happy.
Me?
Not you.
Oh.
Everybody else.
Right.
You be miserable.
Right.
Everybody else, do what you need. By all means, I don't give a shit if you, like, I don't care what your kink or your fetish or your turn on or your lifestyle, fucking do it.
But just don't hurt anybody.
No one's hurting anybody. I'm serious.
I just make sure.
What you can hurt someone if they ask you to hurt them.
Yeah, I know. I've seen those videos and they scare me. And I just be careful out there.
So here's the thing about opening up a relationship, and I get it, right? And there it has crossed my mind at times, and I'm sure it has crossed your mind at times.
Polyamory? No.
Not polyamory, but like monogamish, like being able to go out and use a hall pass, right? Like to go out and be like,
it's complicated.
Of course it's complicated, and you have to have all kinds of layers and boundaries in place and communication and all of the things that we're just working on for the fucking two of us.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I have very good friends who have done it and it's working for them. So they come to me and they say polyamory is the way to go, and here's my thing.
Wait, I don't like it. That's not fair.
Okay, what? What's not fair?
Oh, wait. No, this is not about my needs this episode. I'm sorry.
No, it is. I mean, it is too. But here's my thing with polyamory, and there's a few things.
Because the only thing I can think of is to go out there, you know, for sex or for being satisfied sexually with another woman or whatever. But I get that from you.
Thank God you said that. Wait, I can't say that though, because if it works for somebody else, that's awesome.
I'm saying me.
Right. But what I'm saying is I don't want anybody else to think, oh, my partner went out there because they're not satisfied with me. It's about emotional connection also.
Right. I don't want emotional connection.
No shit.
So what am I getting out of this is my point.
But listen, for everybody, I feel like even though there are experiences out there that I want to have that I probably won't have unless you die or I kill you or something. I also feel like I can't, it's not even about being with another woman for you that is hurtful to me in the sense that like you're going to be with her and be with her physically or whatever. It's that in that space when we're super intimate together and we do very, very intimate things together, right? Mm-hmm. Like very intimate. Like those are my facial expressions that you make. You know what I mean? Like those are mine. Like mm-hmm. I feel like I own those in a sense, which is sounds really stalkerish.
No, but I like it.
But it's true. Yeah. I mean, nobody, you know, everybody sees you out in the wild. You know, wild. Yeah.
When I'm hunting and...
But we're just selling balloons or whatever shit you do. Right. But those are my... faces. And again, I think it's different for us because we have so few other secrets because we share everything, mm-hmm. right? Those are my, your nuances and the way you move and everything like that are mine. I would be beyond devastated if someone else had access to that part of you, you know,
yeah.
beyond the fact that there's part of me that will always question, did you want someone who was smaller? Did you want someone who was more muscular? You know, like a lot of times I know that you've said like you like more muscular women or whatever. And then if you went and you were with
I said that?
Yeah.
More muscular women?
Oh, yeah. You used to love muscular women.
Like I was saying, there's nothing else I would need to have a...
I would fucking think so. If you needed to go with another woman, like I think to myself, like maybe he wants like smaller, perkier breasts and maybe he wants like all these things that I think maybe you'll want. But then I'm sort of like, I don't want, I don't know.
But yeah, but wouldn't you, I mean, talking sexually only, I mean, you know, is there anything else that would satisfy me?
I wouldn't fucking think so.
Right.
Right. Okay.
And I've shown you no reason to think otherwise.
I did want to share one thing before we go that we've been doing that I think is really, really awesome. And I think that people who have kids at home and teenagers at home might want to do. And I was going to put this in a blog, but I didn't have enough time. So we have obviously, Mia's off at college, but she'll be home for a fucking month, even though I'm super excited about it. It still invades on our privacy and our ability to whatever. And I'm so happy to have her home. She's doing amazingly. And all of you out there who support her, thank you. We have a 15-year-old who's up till fucking 2 a.m. every night. And we have a 12-year-old who doesn't go to bed maybe as early as he should. So we have been, and we've done it before too, I think. The other night, we put on a rom-com. And we sort of like just sexually, I don't really want to say sexually, it wasn't sexually. We just sort of like explored each other.
Explored. I don't think you didn't find anything new.
Maybe I did. what's the word? I don't know. We just, look, if the kids had walked in, we weren't naked. We weren't, what's the word? Sexual. Penetrating. Right, like we had to keep it low key enough that if the kids walked in,
there was just an hour and a half of just touching. Massaging, like,
but not going over the line because we couldn't go over the line in case our kids walked in. So our clothes were on, we were just snuggling. If they walked in, it looked like we were snuggling. We had the blankets over us, but mm-hmm. we were definitely like touching each other, but not enough
sexually touching and massaging and
but not enough,
while watching a movie.
Yeah, like not enough that you felt like you needed to finish. Like,
I think
that
people understand.
Okay. But anyway, I loved that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's hard. I think it's a game.
It was a game because it took like touching me for an hour and a half.
Exactly. But it's true. Right? Like we had to do it in a way that wasn't going to make you like it was just good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to call it hide and seek.
Okay.
And people should try it. It was fun. It was really fun. Mm-hmm. I had fun.
That's what I was saying before. Like we were doing, like we had this weird like hiatus of this. What do you even call
it? Well, we didn't have sex for like a week.
Yeah. But like we were doing that kind of stuff. Like we had sex, of course.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. But we were doing that kind of stuff. It's very strange to me. Like it was in the middle of all this chaos and craziness and who knows what.
I needed to have that connection to you.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Done?
Done.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. I hope this one shows that it didn't go over my head.
Yeah, I just want people to listen as partners, you know, and every conversation is different. Every communication is different, but keep it going if you can. Like, I wouldn't have said to you back in, you know, a week and a half, two, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, I wouldn't have said that we won't be having this conversation again if I didn't think you were capable of meeting my needs, right? If I really didn't think you were capable of meeting my needs, I would have said, I'm done, because I was there.
Yeah, I know.
But I was there, but I didn't want to lose you. And I still don't want to lose you, but I also, my needs right now are by far priority number one. And you know, so I just want partners to listen and learn how to navigate these conversations. We are a real couple. We are not like a, you know, Gottman couple who like has been trained. This is how real couples need to do it. Just step by step. That's it. Step
all right. By step. when Danielle starts singing, you know it's time to go. Yeah. Love you guys. Bye.
Love you guys.